30, 20, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1, 2, 3.
Go. Life Matters, a 5-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin. Hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dang, 2 weeks in a row.
Beat you to it.
You did.
He was hanging on that good morning.
Jackson's like jokes
half
is
an
back.
Hour.
I know, he was. He's trying really hard. Jackson's jokes is back 2 weeks in a row. I'm really happy about that. Maybe we'll see you more often since your calendar in the summer isn't so busy.
Yet,
I know. It will be.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Starting July, we'll be pretty busy.
Football.
Yeah, for football.
Right. I remember from last week. Okay.
No, it's not every day.
That's
not
true.
All day either. So.
Right.
Well, I mean, we have camp for our first week.
Well, take a test.
Something's going to happen on
okay.
Weekends.
So, you've got jokes. You must have been saving up a bunch of jokes for us because it's been a while since you've been on. I mean, you were here last week, but it's been a while since you've been on, so...
My joke catalog has not updated once.
Oh. Well.
So there's going to be old jokes?
I would have figured you'd done a little bit more homework than that.
No. I have books. I have stacks on books.
He has great jokes.
Books.
Okay.
I have books.
He does
books.
Have books.
Therefore, I have
I know
jokes.
He has books. Right, right. All right. So you've picked out your favorite jokes out of your books for this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's hear it. Let's see if we can get any of these.
What does every birthday end with?
A why?
Every
yes.
birthday ends with
a why. Birthday, D-A-Y. Right?
No.
Yes, it is. A,
that's
yeah,
it?
That, yeah, that's
a why?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was easy.
I thought
I
so.
I was trying to think it was more complicated. That's why, okay. Every birthday ends with a why. Okay.
He's not happy.
He's really upset with you.
I'm kind
that.
Of excited. It's a great way to start out the day.
All right. Tom's got one.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
I think I had two last week, didn't I?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's
I think so.
At least three.
At the very least, you had one and a part of another one. But I think it was maybe even two and a part of another one.
All right. I got a joke.
I had zero.
No, you had one last week.
I did?
You did.
Oh, that's unlike me.
I got a joke for you, Jackson.
Okay.
Ooh.
What did the plumber tell the singer?
What?
You didn't even try. What did the plumber tell the singer?
Well, I mean, it's not funny when you get it right.
Oh.
It's funny for us.
It's funny for us.
So, you know what the plumber told the singer?
What?
Hey, nice pipes.
Don't not laugh. You know it was funny. He learns from you. This is your fault, Jackson. Grandpa's jokes is all your fault. Do you have another one?
What kind of jewelry do rabbits wear?
What kind of what?
Jewelry.
Jewelry?
Yes.
Do rabbits
carrots.
Wear? Carrots. Carrot,
diamonds
yeah.
are measured in carrots. That's
right.
What I want with carrots.
Some kind of diamond, 5-carat diamond, 1-carat diamond. I don't know.
24-carat gold.
Oh,
man.
What?
This close.
That close. Yep.
All right. We're
all right.
Get...
What kind of tree fits in your hand?
Palm tree.
Yeah, okay. All right.
He
get another
up.
One?
Why did, how easily why did he gave
the,
up.
Why did the robber jump in the shower?
He wanted to make a clean getaway.
Word for
ouch.
Word.
Grandpa's been reading your books.
Probably.
All right. Here's another one. Why did the cookie go to the doctor?
Because, I don't know, he has chocolate chips.
Well, no, he felt kind of crummy.
Jackson, sit up and give us a good joke now. Come on, put some effort into it.
I don't have any good jokes.
Well, then why
well,
you are you
should.
Here?
Yeah, go away. We don't want you.
What did one colored egg say to the other?
What did one colored egg say to the other?
Yeah. Happy Easter.
No.
No? What?
Heard any good yolks lately?
Ah, good yolks.
Should have known that one. We should have gotten that one. Yeah, I'm disappointed in us.
Hey, I got one. How many apples grow on a tree?
I don't know. A handful?
All of them.
Okay.
You know they're funny. Stop acting like he's not funny. He's very funny. He's annoyed with us this age. Right, you can tell he's getting close.
I'm not annoyed.
I'm trying to get him moving, get him going.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting him warmed up.
One more.
Why shouldn't you tell an Easter egg a good joke?
You don't want to crack him up?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
This is my day.
He's not going to let you answer any more of these jokes.
No, probably not.
What do you call a line of rabbits walking backwards?
Bunny, I don't know.
Bunny hop. I got a hop in my head.
What is it?
A receding hairline.
Okay, that one's good. That's the last one. That was good. We got to end on that.
Yeah,
note.
We probably should. I had a good one.
Yeah, we should.
But I can save it for later.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead with it. Do you think it's going to top the receding hairline?
No, probably not. But you know what? I'm going to try.
Okay.
So what did the banana say to the boy?
Don't slip.
What did the banana say to the boy? I feel like it's going to be something to do with split. But he said slip. I don't know.
Yeah, nothing. Bananas don't talk.
Okay, get out. Both of you. You both have to go now.
Right. When does a joke become apparent? No, I ruined the joke. Oh.
See?
I ruined the joke.
You should have quit. Yeah. You should have quit while you were ahead.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, that was
fun. It's always good to have you.
Yeah, it was good to have you. For those who can't see into the studio, Jackson is substantially taller than me now.
Yes,
like
he is.
An inch taller than me, which is substantial at this point. So we'll have no more of that growing thing, if you don't mind.
Right. That and your voice.
Yeah, I'll just break my growth plate this time.
You what?
I'll just break my growth plate.
Rather than his hand, his foot, or his leg.
Right, okay, yes.
He's running out of extremities to break.
You really are. You really are.
There's still ribs, a lot of them.
Oh, good, ribs, yes, yeah. That's next. Okay.
Move on to those ones.
Your parents will be glad to hear that.
Which isn't too bad until you laugh.
Yeah.
Ah, see, yeah.
It hurts like the Dickens.
Yeah, you can't break your ribs because then you can't come in here and tell us jokes. Because even though you didn't want to, you laughed.
Right, and we might just tickle you.
Oh, no, okay. Well, I'd have to catch him first, and I probably can't catch him anymore. So I probably haven't been able to catch him for a while.
No.
Anyway. Well, Jackson, thank you for taking some of your summertime on a Sunday to join us and tell your dad happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
All right.
It's my pleasure.
All right. We'll be back with more Life Matters right after this on Lake 96.1.
Jackson's Jokes.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. I don't even know.
Yeah, you do. Oh, you know.
We talk about a lot of stuff off the air. We've decided that
a lot of times it goes off the rail.
Yeah, and we're totally off the rail. And then by the time we get back on the rails, I've forgotten what we were supposed to be talking about. So,
you know what we need is some kind of representative in here.
I know.
That will.
If we only had a representative.
Focus.
I could be that representative.
Can you be a representative today, Gator?
I can be a representative.
All right. How about a representative of Rick's Run?
That's me.
Oh,
that is the man.
Okay, see, we're back on track.
That's
for
right.
A minute. All right. Tell us all about it. When is it this year? What's going on?
So this year, the Rick's Run is on the 21st of June. It will be out of the Delbrook Golf Course, as it always has been.
Yep.
So good place. Awesome venue. Good parking. And we will be doing the same type of a poker run that we have for the past 4 years now. It's going to be
if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Right. It's self-guided. So we have 10 stops, actually, on our run this year. So anywhere.
10?
Yep.
Is that normal? Is that more?
Well, that's more.
Okay.
But you can pick as many as you want
or
as few as you want. You don't have to go to all 10. You want to go to 5 because you want to at least get a full poker hand when you get back.
This is true.
So you want to be able to get at least 5 cards. But we've set it up so that if you want to go in a certain direction and maybe drive a little further, we have Pettit's Lakeview, which is out on Lake Koshkonong,
mm-hmm.
which is one of our stops. And the Dousman House in Dousman.
Yeah.
So we can go out that way.
It's a long ride.
And of course, in my opinion, the best dive bar in the state of Wisconsin, which is Digging Cats.
Oh, yeah.
So right outside of Sullivan.
Sure.
So, yeah. So we've got kind of a little bit of a route going out that way. And we end up again at the Boar's Nest, and from there we will have a police-guided trip back to the Delbrook Golf Course, mm-hmm. which we do every year.
We've talked about this a million times. Bikers are some of the most generous people on the planet. And
we think so.
Absolutely. And if you have a wonderful, legitimate cause, they'll take it up. That's why you see them everywhere. And again, reminding people who don't ride, when you see a huge group of motorcycles, please do not interfere with it. Do not pull out in front of it. Do not try to get in the middle of it. Do not think that they're going to all stop. They act as one vehicle when they're at stop signs and things like that. So mm-hmm. just a reminder, a friendly reminder, be calm, because most of the time they are raising money for something. So that's my annual more than
you
can
pretty
reminder.
Much guarantee that group is
absolutely.
On some kind of fundraising ride.
Yeah.
Your patience is greatly appreciated.
Yes, and blowing your grass in the ditch.
Oh,
not
don't,
on the road.
Don't get me started with those individuals.
No, you go on for hours.
Yeah. Grass
probably
and gravel.
96.1 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Grass.
Take the opportunity whenever to get that.
Every single show. Yeah. Grass and gravel. Get it off the road. Period.
Yeah.
There's no... It's not, again... There's bicyclists that this affect too. It's not just motorcycles.
Right. Like it affects everybody.
There's little bicycle riders. Right. So, yeah. But anyway, tell us what Rick's Run raises money for.
Rick's Run raises money for high school students in the county of Walworth that are choosing to go into the skilled trades. So we give scholarships to these individuals after they apply for them and meet our criteria, which is... not an exceptional type thing.
Right.
We don't expect... I expect a 1.6 GPA out of somebody.
Right.
If you can play football, then you can go into the skilled trades. I look at it that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our requirements are a 1.6 GPA and that they have been part of a team or a group. Working in the skilled trades, you have to work with other people.
Right.
So you need to be able to communicate with others and work as a team.
Right.
So it's one of the things that we require. It's been a very interesting journey for me and for the group people in my group. This has been the eighth year that we've done this.
Right.
And learned a lot. I've met some phenomenal young people in doing this. And you see the passion, you
sure.
know, that comes out of them when they apply for these scholarships. And I had actually had to put little posters out in the classrooms. I had to give them to the tech ed teachers to post up in their classes because, let's face it, these kids are looking at scholarships, and the scholarships are going to where? The Brainiacs, right? In 4-year,
right.
2-year colleges, and, you know, kids that are excelling at academics. So who would think they'd get a scholarship for welding
right.
or... you know, machining or...
Which is actually what we need to be giving scholarships for.
Absolutely.
Correct.
As they excel at life.
I mean, far be it from me to be judgy. But.
Learn while you earn.
Exactly.
And people need to work. And, you know, you don't have to be sitting at a computer to earn a living. You can earn a really good learning, getting your hands really good living, getting your hands
absolutely.
Dirty.
Absolutely. And we will always need tradespeople. Always.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A machine can't do some of this stuff.
No.
It just can't.
Nope.
So you'll always have to have
around.
A human being doing that job.
Right.
So
are your applicants getting, like, are you getting more? Because I know that actually in the last couple of years, everybody's kind of been leaning toward, you know, we need to encourage more trade school students.
And they are.
Okay.
Last year I had 15 that I gave away. This year we've given away 13.
Nice.
So we've gotten, and this year was a more diversified class
okay.
of kids that actually applied. I have my little list here. I have a heavy equipment operator, an HVAC tech, two electricians, a cosmetologist, a young man going into fire protection, an aero engine, aeroframe mechanic, a diesel mechanic, a plumber, HVAC, a CNC programmer operator, a welding fabrication, and another just plain plumber, and someone going into the culinary arts. So he's actually going to the Culinary Institute of America.
Nice.
It's kind of a widespread, but, you know, and Tom and I had talked about that last year, the fact that, you know, law enforcement and fire protection, you, if you, in my opinion, if you have to use your hands and your head, it's a skilled trade.
Right.
You know, you got to put those two together, and one's playing off the other. It's not just tapping on a keyboard.
They can go anywhere they want to do these jobs. And it's most of those trades, that's the same. It's the same situation.
It's the same situation.
Yeah. You do not have to stay here. You can go anywhere you want to live, wherever pretty, wherever your hobbies might be, whatever, and do your job and live your life.
Well, and it's... A trade is something nobody can ever take away from you.
Exactly.
Once you're trained in it, you can play off of that into so many different things. Mm-hmm. And I'm a tool and die mold maker by trade. So in my trade, you learn how to weld. Mm-hmm. You learn how to wire things because there's electrical involved. Hydraulics are involved. Plumbing is involved. There's water and everything.
Right.
So, you know, coming off of that, putting a faucet in my house is nothing.
Right.
Right.
Running wiring in my house is nothing.
Right.
Building something is nothing. I already know how to measure. I know how to cut. I know how to plan. I know how to build. I can read blueprints. I can read computer. I can do all of these things because of my trade.
Right.
So now if I want to go off and do something else, so what? I can play off of that. I mean, my trade has taken me in so many different directions and allowed me to learn so many different things. I traveled all over the world using my trade.
Sure.
I was a machinist for In-Place Machining Company. I've been everywhere in the world working on different things. It was a very, very cool job.
Right. And every single thing on that list of people that you've given scholarships to so far this year, every single thing on this list is the exact same thing. They can go absolutely anywhere
and do anything
and do whatever they want.
Yep. I mean, and these, like I said, these kids are awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, just reading, like I said, I feel privileged to read the applications and then getting the thank yous back from them is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, when they so appreciate it. It's not something that's expected, or they're not applying for loans. A lot of these kids are pulling this money out of their pocket.
Absolutely.
And their parents don't have it. You know, I had one young lady last year. She was one of six kids. She was the oldest. And she didn't know how she was going to be able to do what she wanted to do. But she sent back a letter. Thank you for letting my dream come true.
Yeah.
Well, and the kids coming out of the technical college are... I think that's almost 100% employed.
Oh, most of them are employed before they get out of technical college.
Right, but the success rate is off the charts.
Yeah.
Especially compared to these big dollar colleges where, you know, you're not working in that trade that you went to college for. You're doing some other menial job until you can find one.
Well,
about the tech schools.
As I've told these kids, when you come out of a college, you're graduating in January, or you're graduating in May or June, along with 30,000 other people across this country that have the exact same degree.
Right.
Your pool is very small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you come out of either a technical school or a trade school, everybody is wanting you. You have your pick.
Right.
You know, when you can go anywhere and not only are they going to take you in, they're going to teach you the rest of the skills you need for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you're getting paid a good dollar while you're being taught.
Right.
You know, keep your mouth shut, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, learn what you have to learn and utilize that and move on and build your career from there. Sky's the limit.
Yeah. And what thing I like to tell them, too, is every day is an interview. Because a lot of times, those people that are instructing you are also looking to hire you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every day you go to school, you're doing an interview for a potential employer.
The gal that does my hair, her son went to school for, he's a diesel mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he bought his first house at like 23 years old.
Yeah.
Had his own money, own down payment, own credit and everything, 23 years old.
Yep.
He was barely out of, He had been out of school for a couple of years because it didn't take him that long. But he also went longer to get extra accreditation or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, to get extra. But that was an option. He didn't have to do that. So many doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right.
Without
they're
a
grateful
huge cost.
Because we hammer into kids grades, 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 scholarship, 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 and don't necessarily say skill, skill, skill. Scholarship, right. Scholarship, scholarship. And so I think you're right. They're like surprised that they have this opportunity to help them pay for something that is actually a dream. Because like the culinary school, that's a dream. That mm-hmm. person knows that they're good at that, wants to be better at it, and that is a dream. And right. so,
well, period. We've taken a lot of the skilled trades out of the country for a long time as right. well. We offshored them. When I was a tool and die maker, NAFTA was the worst thing that could have ever happened mm. to
yep.
our trade.
Yep.
And there were, you know, why would they hire an apprentice when there's journeymen that are out of work? See, yep. so we spent 25 years, now almost 30 years, not educating these kids in these trades because we didn't need them. Well, now we really need them. Mm-hmm. And we need to bring them back before guys like me that can teach them are gone.
Right.
Well, and a lot of the high schools are pushing the vocational industries out of the school.
Right. Well, not anymore.
Class and they're, all that stuff.
They're bringing them back.
Away. No, I understand that, but that was part of the problem, too.
Right. Correct.
There was no interest developed in school.
No.
I grew up around everything, so
right.
it was not an interest. It was a job that I had to do. I had to go help on a car or build or whatever.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it was normal life for us.
The best thing I ever did was work with my brother-in-law when I was 15 years old. He was a roughing carpenter. And also, I've been in the trade since I can remember. My
right.
father was an electrical engineer. He wanted to be an electrician, and I said, no. He said, why? I said, because...
It's a shocking job.
Well, when you screw it up, you can't see it coming. You know, that was one of the things. It just, it bites you, and But I still do electrical now, thanks to him, but it's...
Yeah, but you learned. And, you know, some of us, like you and I, we were lucky because we learned from our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Pounding nails, running saws, stuff like that. That was my childhood. But a lot of people never had that experience. And without those classes in school or going into that type of work, they never would learn.
Right. And the fact now, like I said, the especially the schools in Walworth County, Delamandarian has done a great job.
Yes.
I toured Elkhorn, and oh my Lord, the machine shop that they have in there is just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Their small engine and their mechanics classes are really awesome. They do a great job teaching these kids. I mean, the projects that they had when I was there in Elkhorn, they had the seniors were making a magnetized chess set. So that was their project when they started. And they would machine, they would write the programs and machine the pawns and machine all the different
wow.
chess pieces, make their own board, put the magnets in so that it would stick to the board. It was a
That's
magnetized
cool.
chess set.
That'd be a fun project.
It yeah. was really cool. And yeah. they were all so varied and so different with the way these kids were programming them, designing them, and programming them. It was really a neat project.
Right.
It wasn't just one piece. It was the whole board
right.
full.
Bunch of different pieces, yeah.
So, wow. yeah, and
cool.
varying materials, so you had different colorations. It was really cool. It was a great project.
They have a small engine class up there, is that what you said?
Yep, they have a small engine class, too. One of my very first scholarship recipients, she was a female, and
girl.
She wanted to go into small engine mechanics. Her father did not support her in that,
right.
which I was very disappointed in. But she wanted to do it. And when we gave her that scholarship, she cried.
I bet.
Because that gave her the opportunity to do what she wanted to do.
Right.
So it was cool. It was,
yeah.
like I said, this has been such a fulfilling thing. I mean, it dominates my life for quite a bit of time. And I am getting to the end of this. I said I would do it for 10 years. And that's even become into question at times. But it is very time consuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it is a labor of love. And it's when you see these kids, it does start to make it worthwhile. When
yeah.
when the grind starts to get a little bit much, you know, and then all of a sudden you get the applicants. And
you go back to that young lady.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back to some of these kids that have just thrived and you were part of that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a very cool feeling,
yeah.
you know, to say, yep, I helped.
You helped
yeah.
with that.
And then when every once in a while you'll get one that wants to pay it forward. You know, thank you for helping me. How can I help others?
Yeah.
So it's very neat. And all my favorite term to them is take everything that you have learned and pass it on. You know, you need to be able to take what you have learned, take that as a gift and give that gift to the next.
Right.
Because it doesn't do any good if it passes away with you.
Right. Yeah, you got to keep it going.
You got to keep it going. You have to pass it on.
And honestly, the thing about it, too, is that if you have a talent for a trade like that, there's also something special about how you do it. Nobody does these trades the exact same way.
Right.
So make sure whatever your secret is, whatever you're the best at, make sure that you have enlightened someone else, just like you said, because, again, you don't want your special to die.
Right. I mean,
robbing the future of a great tradesman.
So. I was very fortunate when I got into the trades. I had a old Hungarian gentleman that had come off the boat. I had a German gentleman that had also come off the boat. And I had a Polish gentleman who was a second generation. All of them were toolmakers. So I got to learn from the actual old country individuals, you know, shut my mouth, open my eyes, open my ears, and just, you know, learn and soak it all in.
Yeah.
And I still use what they have taught me. And I do everything I can to pass it on to others, you know, and thinking outside the box. And it's not doesn't have to always be the same way.
Right.
You know, and I've been being told, you're an apprentice right now. You do it the way I tell you to do it. You do it the way he tells you to do it when he tells you to do it, and you do it the way he tells you to do it when he tells you to do it.
And now you know how to do all of it.
That's but when you build your style.
But when you become a journeyman, you can do it however you want using what he did and he did and he did and put it together and make it yours.
Yeah, all the best practices.
So, you know, it's really cool. Yeah. I'm so happy with what I've done with my life, and being able to pass that on to these kids is huge.
Tell us again how to, can you register in advance?
Yes, you can register in advance. You can
register
online.
Do you need a representative?
Sorry.
Sorry, Gundy.
We have a representative online.
Oh, awesome.
It's Rick's Run, Inc.
.com?
Yes, ma'am.
Or .org?
.com.
Okay. RicksRunInc.com.
Yep, RicksRunInc.com. And you can go through everything. You can do a sponsorship if you wish. It's our corporate sponsorships are $300 a year. I have 57 sponsors. That's where we garner most of our funds to pass on to the kids. So each kid gets a $1,500 scholarship. Mm-hmm. So every five sponsors, that's a scholarship.
Right.
So you can be a sponsor, or you can sign up for the run, and we also have a golf outing that we're doing on the 20th of September, and that is going to be out of Evergreen this year. So we've changed our venue for that, and that's going to be a really neat event, so I can't wait for that one either.
So if you just go to the website, you'll see even eventually you can also keep track of the golf outing.
Correct.
Information, I have to assume.
Yep.
So so it's RicksRunInc.com. Register. Can they just show up and register that morning?
You can.
What time is
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
You,
8 o'clock registration starts till it goes from 8 to 10.
Okay.
And again, it's self-guided, so there is no kickstands up.
Okay.
There is no time to leave. You, if you show up at 8 o'clock, you get your sheet and get the blank out of there and hit it. So you can get, maybe then if you show up early, you can get all 10 of the stops if you wish. So the early bird gets the worm.
I get all 10. Yeah.
Do you get all 10?
I can't get all 10.
So,
well, last year I couldn't. I didn't have a lot of time. But I did ride for a little bit with them. I can't remember what I had to do, but
I think
had to go.
There was a wedding. Or
you
something.
Had a wedding.
Oh, that's right. I had to go to a wedding.
You had to go to one of those wonderful events.
Right.
Yeah,
because you love weddings.
What is it with weddings and rides? I had the same thing last year with Gina's ride.
Chicks like to get married on the on Saturday.
Yep.
And that's when the rides are.
Headed north.
You gave us a plaque for being a sponsor of organization, and I want to thank you for that.
Well,
thank
you.
Because we would do it anyway, but this is cool. You know how I love to hang stuff on my walls? I'm running out of walls. That's okay. I'm all right with that. But this is a wonderful, wonderful organization, and I am just impressed every year with the people that you come back and say that you have given scholarships to. So thank you for all of the work that you do for it as well.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to come in. I appreciate it. I always love talking to the two of you guys. It's always a hoot.
Yeah.
I mean, when you can be a representative of an individual group like Rick's Run and come and talk to the two of you, it's fantastic. So thank you for all you guys do.
He's never going to live that down.
No, he's not. He doesn't care either.
And I love him so much for it, because he was so funny. Anyway, RicksRunInc.com. Go and register. The run is next Saturday, this coming Saturday. So get out there. It's going to be great weather. It always is. And even if it's not, don't be a wuss. Put your rain gear on and get out there and ride.
Well, that's why we have stops that are close by, too. So that's why we have 10 total. So you don't have to go very far. And we take classic cars or even a non-classic car. Oh. It doesn't matter to us. You can do this in any mode of transportation you wish.
Sweet. So, that's cool.
You can even push the limit, bring a helicopter. I don't know. Have fun with it. Use your imagination.
Use your imagination.
Don't listen to him.
Wow, you sound like people I've worked for before.
Yeah.
Gator, thank you so much for joining us this morning. As always, don't forget ricksruninc.com. Go get all the information and plan to ride next Saturday.
Yep.
We'll be back with more Life Matters right after this on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. And he's very nervous right now, is he not? Because now he's got two people looking at him like, don't screw up.
I'm not nervous. Both of you are going to be all over me. I know that.
Right.
So, not nervous.
He's prepared.
He's always nervous. You know, you didn't invite Joe, so it's not like a triple dog dare kind of.
This is true.
Dissension upon the rank over here.
This not is nervous true. About that either. I just take a break. I don't have a, you know, opportunity to say anything, so I just sit back and relax.
I don't really know why she doesn't make him nervous. It doesn't. I don't feel like it makes him nervous, and I feel like it should, especially if you're in a room with her and me and Joe. I don't know why you're not more nervous, but
it's a trifecta.
Military in you.
It's a trifecta.
Yeah. Well,
or triple threat, whichever you
really dealt
you
with
prefer.
Way more dangerous stuff than the three of you together.
Mm.
Maybe not near as much fun, but.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, Tom's wife, Amy Giovannone, joins us today. And the subject that you are going to talk about today, and you are extremely, extremely knowledgeable on this kind of thing, is realist fraud. And you are extremely knowledgeable on this subject because
you work for Heritage Title Services.
Heritage Title Company. I have a huge envelope of paperwork from Heritage Title Services for my own home. So
she probably handed it to you.
Absolutely, she did.
They kind of run together.
I did a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And well, it's funny too because the closing process was extremely easy because of Amy. I had already had everything and read it and all that kind of stuff. So when it came time to sign everything, it was just like, if you don't pay, you don't stay. Sign right there, right? Because I knew all of this already.
Yeah.
And right,
yeah. Really, well, you're dealing with the best.
Right, and that's really basically what closing is. If you don't pay, you don't get to stay here.
Right.
So
alarming that has to be reminded of you about six different times in your standard loan package.
Right.
Alarming.
It is alarming.
It is alarming.
But I understand why they do it, because I can't imagine how many people do not pay when they are supposed to, and then they continue to stay.
Right.
The nuts and bolts of all of the disclosures in a loan package, really probably in any legal document, is you are plastering the hole that allows a foreclosure to not happen. So if you are a lender and you're foreclosing on a homeowner for non-payment or default of any reason in the loan, that buyer's attorney is going to lift up every rock and turn every page to make sure that that buyer fully understood exactly what their responsibilities were. And it's, you know, my favorite piece of paper in the entire loan package is the one that said, did you know, if you don't make your payments on time, it's going to affect your credit score.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
What?
Which is kind of funny, but not really.
Way.
But not
student
really.
Loans count for that, too.
No, that apparently not
Are
so much anyway.
Are you going to get us started?
No, yes, God, not me. I would never do anything like that.
That's the other segment later on.
Yeah.
So what is the number one area of fraud in real estate? Like, what do you see as the most important or the one that maybe even surprises people that they can be a victim of?
Well, I think wire fraud is the one that is getting the most press right now, and you get it all the time, and you hear about it, and if you call a banking or a financial institution, you will hear a deluge of disclaimers about wire fraud. You call a title company, and while you're holding, you don't get atrocious hold music anymore. You get public service announcements about this, that, and the other thing. And most of it has to do with wire fraud. Do not accept.
How do people do that? How do they fraudulently steal your money, I guess, is what they're doing.
I used to make jokes all the time that there was some very overweight guy who hasn't shaved in 3 days, who's long hair, sitting with a bag of Doritos and a keg of Mountain Dew on a bark lounger, stealing information.
In his mother's basement.
Yeah, in his mother's basement. But as it turns out, that is not where the fraudsters live. They actually are in giant high-rise buildings, being paid pretty decent money, shirts and ties and suits and what have you. And all they do all day is surf the web. So they're looking for keywords, just like when you are in you're advertising, you can pay a search engine to put keywords in the middle of the search, so it'll bring your company up faster.
Okay.
These fraudsters are doing the exact same thing. They're looking for keywords: real estate, home, transfer, confirmation, instructions, wire, funds. These are hot words, and so they just have this little computer that's searching those codes through the internet to find those sorts of words in an email, whether it's in the subject line or in the content of the email. And what they are able to do is intercept the attachment, switch out the account number, re-email it back, and the email address looks almost exactly the same, but not quite. For instance, I have two emails in my company. One is my first initial whole last name. And as we all know, Giovannone is not something most people can pull off, let alone spell. Mm-hmm. So when I first started there, I said, can you just do me a favor and make my email Amy G? That's really, the industry knows me as that. My friends know me as that. Mm-hmm. The people at the Y know me as that. Giovannone is just not something people pull out of their pocket. Although I tell them, you take your hand out of your pocket, wave it around like you're Italian, Giovannone comes out real easy. Giovannone. But at any rate,
it sings.
So my email is amyg@htstitle.com. They would intercept, theoretically, they haven't done it to my email, but this is how it's done. They would intercept my PDF. They would change the account number. And then the email would come from amyge@htstitle.com or HTSTTLE and drop the I.
Right.
So by a quick glance, it looks like a legitimate email address, or it might be .org or .something. So they're changing a letter or two in the email address and reattaching what looks to be the same wiring instructions that were attached on the send, but on the receive, it's different. And so every business in a financial situation is always saying, please, 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 please pick up the phone, confirm wiring instructions before you wire. And most teller lines, when you go to the bank to initiate a wire, certainly investment companies, you know, they all will call and say, we need to confirm all of these wire instructions, the dollar amount, the file number, whatever. And then you know it's a safe passage from point A to point B. If it is not confirmed and they push the wire, there's a pretty much 98% chance that money is gone forever. Once it's gone, you cannot retrieve it back. There have been times that people have been able to get portions of it back, but what happens is it diverts, it drops into that fraudulent person's account, and they immediately splay the money into multiple directions. So they're not just retaining it in the account that it received in. They are distributing it widespread right away. So
it's very similar to, or at least the disbursement of those, that stolen money, very, very similar to when a senior citizen gets duped and says, in order to pay this fine, tax, whatever, you have to go get a Visa debit or, you know, like
absolutely
a gift card. And those are, you cannot get your money back off of those. My dad was a victim of that. Cost him a little bit of money, and that's exactly what they told him to do. I mean, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing, no possible way to, you can't shut the card down. You can't stop the transaction. There's nothing you can do. The money's just gone.
It's gone.
Now,
yeah.
My dad has left the station.
Right. And my dad, you're talking about a couple thousand dollars. This is tens of thousands of
hundreds
dollars.
Of thousands.
Potentially.
Big
right.
Money. Yeah.
So then you're just out.
Correct. So that's number one. And that's not just in the real estate industry. That's just a widespread. Anytime money is transferring, wire fraud is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I found to be interesting, this is newer, and you've probably heard commercials probably the last 3 years or so talking about, is it Title Safe or something like that, where you buy
SafeLock.
Yeah, buy this program to ensure that your real estate isn't stolen. And when the commercial started a couple of years ago, I was like, this is just asinine. There's no way that this can happen. You convey real estate through a deed. A deed must be notarized. A notary must verify by identification whose signature they are signing with. And that's usually done with a government identification.
Of course.
So even if you don't have a driver's license, you can still get a government ID. You get that from the DMV just like you do a driver's license. Mm-hmm. And it's a photo. It has a issuance date. It has a date of birth. It has a expiration date. And it has all of your information. And as a notary, which is not a necessarily easy thing to become, you have to be bonded by a company. It's not like some John, Dick, or Harry is just going to go out to the notary website and decide, I want to be a notary, because they're going to have somebody to bond them. And most people don't have that kind of financial wherewithal to bond themselves.
And you have to pass the stupid test.
And the test is not easy.
Well. It is not.
It used to
because
be
it's tricky.
Easy. Yeah.
Very, yeah. very
and
tricky.
And it's pages and pages and questions mm-hmm. and questions and questions. It takes a hot minute to get mm-hmm. through it. And you're right. It's like any other government question. It's not written in a way that makes
sense.
It's filled with double negatives
right.
and what ifs. Like, if this was the thing, what would be the outcome? So, I mean, the whole notary
process.
And
even
process,
if you try and answer those questions, well, I would maybe go overboard on what I'm looking for just to make sure that's wrong.
Correct.
Like, even though in practice, it would be good for maybe you to just double check this or double check that just to keep everybody safe in that transaction. If you answer it that way, it's a wrong answer because you're saying you're doing things that you don't have to do. So it doesn't matter. It just,
well, and it,
like,
it
it's not
treads,
easy.
It treads on the precipice of, are you conducting legal work that an attorney would do?
Right.
So you are supposed to ask the party that is signing, do you understand the document that you're signing? You aren't supposed to explain the document
nope.
that they are signing, because if you lead them astray and you are
legal
not
advice.
Right, then you have just given legal advice. So,
exactly.
So yeah, there's a very interesting thing. So anyways, I always thought, well, this is stupid. What a waste of money. This is another one of these scams where title lock is what it's called.
Yes, that's it.
Title lock. I knew it would come to me.
I knew we'd get there.
Boom. Light comes on in the corner. I don't even know. So I just was like, come on. How? This is crazy. You have to have a deed. This is a legal document. It's vetted not only by the person who records it, but also by the Register of Deeds, the property lister's office.
Right.
There's multiple layers that review a document. And as long as a document meets the recording requirements, it has to be recorded by the Register of Deeds. However, that secondary layer, the property lister's office, is checking to make sure, first of all, your legal description makes a full circle. It has to close. It starts at a point, it goes around, and it comes back to where it started from.
Right.
If it doesn't close, then you don't have a legal description. You have a hole that doesn't end.
Right.
So that's not right. Then you also have to confirm that the party signing that document was the vested owner to begin with. So if, for instance, I'm selling my house and you sign my deed and it says power of attorney, but there is no power of attorney on file at the Register of Deeds, well, you have no right to sell anything without an on-file power of attorney with
right.
the Register of Deeds. So it all has to kind of connect together very nicely. So there's multiple layers of that. So I always just kind of was like, I don't know what all of this is about. Well, back to our fraudsters in the very lovely glass building, mm-hmm. the Ivory Tower. Did you know that you can get a notary seal on Etsy? Did you know you can get a driver's license, a photo ID that looks just like a government ID on Etsy?
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew you could order the notary things.
Yeah, you can, yeah, they have.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever you want to call it, black market or whatever.
You can
get
anything.
But you,
internet.
I mean, if you order from like a notary company and you want a new notary seal, you do have to
yeah.
provide, you know.
Proof that you're a notary.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
But so.
You would think.
Right. So the biggest fraud in real estate, second to the wiring that we are currently kind of in a dither about, is non-owner occupied and vacant land real estate fraud.
Hmm.
So you have a second home on Geneva Lake, and you live in California. And all of a sudden, a real estate agent gets a telephone call from the seller, I'm air quoting right now, who wants to list the property. And so they aren't in the area. They're doing this all online and through the telephone. They take the listing. It's a key code. They can get in the house. or it's a vacant lot. Vacant lot is a little easier because mm-hmm. there's nothing there.
Right.
You can say, I just own it. And this is all public record. You can buy lists of vacant land, and you can buy lists of vacant land with taxes that are a little delayed in their payments every mm-hmm. year
right,
or
right.
whatever. So then they list the property. They go to sell it. It's gone. It's sold. The realtor never met the seller. The title company never met the seller because the seller isn't coming back to Wisconsin to sell their property when they live in California. Oh, don't worry. I have a notary in my office. Just send me the docs. I'll take care of it, and I'll send it back.
Yikes.
Then the homeowner comes to pull permits to build their dream house on their vacant land, and there's already a house there because the person bought it and built their own house on it, and it was all a fraudulent transaction.
Can you imagine?
No. And so,
so then what happens?
So then you have a very long, lengthy lawsuit, and you have to try to track down this person who signed a deed.
In the wind.
Right, who's very much in the wind.
Whoa.
Because you can make up an email address just as quickly as you can discontinue an email address.
Right.
You can have a burner phone just as easily as you can have a cell phone or a landline. And how do you know? So here is, this is why I thought this was a relevant conversation to have, and Life Matters being a public service sort
of show. So
you're
going to tell us how to protect ourselves from this
stuff? I'm going to tell you this awesome, awesome thing that the Register of Deeds has. They have a program that you can sign up for that is free of charge. You sign up for it. You give them the tax parcel numbers of the properties that you own. And if there are any documents that are recorded that affect that tax parcel, you will be notified. Now, it's after the fact because they don't have a magic glass ball that says, in the future, someone's going to fraudulently take your home.
Right.
But they can say, hi, it's Friday. And Thursday, just yesterday, a deed was recorded. Did you record it? And then it's fresh, and you can have it overturned, and you can,
okay,
you know, you can go to the courts right away. You can contact the authorities. You can get the process started in a far more aggressive and proactive way. Again, not before it happened, but certainly directly after it happened.
Wow.
So this is a program.
Right.
Yep. And it's a fairly new program. It's not available in every county of the state. It is available in Walworth County. I believe it is also available in Kenosha and Racine, which is mm-hmm. kind of your listening area here.
Yep.
But there are counties in the state that don't have it. There, of course, is always legislature going across the governor's desk and the assembly's desk. And one of the items on the last budget included some funding that would have gone and dwindled down to the property listers and the recorder's offices, give them a little bit more money to make this a widespread statewide offering
right.
to their property owners in the state. I don't believe it got passed because it was also encompassed some other things that were not quite as appealing to push through, which is unfortunately kind of the way that things
I mean, God
get bundled,
show.
Right? That's
right.
kind of the
yeah.
thing how
God forbid
things
we
get
can't just make a list of the things that we know are good, put them all through, and then argue about the rest.
Right.
We wouldn't want to do it because that, you know, would require brain power, so God forbid. But
well, and you can't hide stuff that way.
I know. Well, that's true, too. That's true. Yeah.
So anyways, I would encourage your listeners definitely call your Register of Deeds office, find out what the paperwork is. I'm sure it's an online program that you can sign up for. And if not, you know, have the form emailed and mail it in. It's an important thing to know about because I've been in real estate in the title end of real estate for 22 years and it blew my mind because I thought, well, this can't, how
right.
can this even
yeah.
happen? And to have it be so frighteningly obvious how it could happen, and then that there's a slight opportunity to protect yourself without having to pay somebody a fee.
Right.
It's the same fee that directly after you close, you're going to get a mailing that says, for $80, I'll provide you with a copy of your deed, which is also ridiculous because you get your deed from your closing.
I was going
to
say,
you don't need to pay $80 to a private company to provide you with a copy of the deed. And if you lose your deed, it doesn't matter because it's recorded.
Right.
And those recordings are in the cloud, and you can go to the Register of Deeds office and buy yourself a copy.
And they're not that much.
No. Or you, yeah, it's a copy charge of what, like $2 or something? I don't even know. But, or you call the title company that you worked with or your friend that is in the industry and say, hey, can you just get me a copy of my deed?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that this is more prevalent now because we've gone so far away from in-person signed documents and so much is going, so much is online now that, I mean, you just, you there's nothing you can do to control who has access to some of that stuff.
You know, I think that technology is a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that even our generation of the mid-range folk who now use a cell phone, but not to the degree that a younger generation does.
Right.
If you forget your cell phone at home, or you can't find it in the bottom of your purse, or it's slipped between your car, your seat and your console in the car, like you're freaking out. I can't leave the house without my phone. I have to, you know, I use my time in the car to catch up on personal phone calls. Like, it's great that I can talk through my dashboard, look like a crazy person walking, driving down the road, just talking, and there's no one in my car with me. But we've become very dependent on all of this technology.
Right.
The fact that you can shoot an email off or send a really quick text is quick. I have reconnected with friends I haven't seen in 40 years via Facebook or other social media platforms. There are so many fantastic advantages to it, but we all are doing things quickly. I want to check my balance in my bank account. I have an app on my phone. I want to transfer money from my savings to my checking. I have an app on my phone.
And it is great. It's convenient. However,
but
I completely agree with you because if you remember correctly, we got hacked a few years ago.
Yeah, I sure did.
We got hacked a few years ago after I spent years and years and years telling my engineer and my IT people, I do not want these computers online. I don't want them online. And it wasn't even, I didn't even have hacker in my mind. I had virus in my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we put them on there. We've been on for a couple of years. One particular computer who left a program that was easily accessible, open on that computer, and we had no idea because it was hidden. That was the access point for the hackers. After all those years, I said, do not figure out how we're going to do it. I'm not. And then finally, well, technology, we can't support this if you don't upgrade and all this. And so I did. Boom.
Yep.
And you don't realize how vulnerable you are just doing the simplest things.
Yeah, it's easy to have it happen to you.
Yeah. You have autofill on your phone and on your computer of your credit cards. We have stores that don't take cash anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You buy things on a whim. You have these clickbait things that come up in your social media or even in your emails that they see what you're buying, they see what you're interested in, and they shower you with all of this cool stuff at a great deal, and you're like, yep, I'll buy it. Great.
Click.
Click. Right. There goes your credit card. And so, yes, I think that the fact that we are less in person and more technologically driven in all of the facets of our lives, that, yes, we have exposed ourselves to this. And I don't think that we as the protection aspect can keep up with the rapid fire money being made by people who are taking it not in a legitimate manner.
Just triple check everything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
and
everything.
And slow down. If you are talking about anything that relates to money or finances, slow down.
Yeah.
Because it is quick click mistakes that will cost you thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Could cost you your lifetime savings.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh.
And how are you going to buy that house twice?
Right. You're not.
Mm-mm.
Right. No. Oh. Amy, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Very, very good advice.
Yeah, great to see you.
I know.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
When did you get here?
Just walked in.
Oh, anyway, so appreciate it. Amy Giovannone, Heritage Title Services. Fantastic information. Remember that we always repost the show on Monday morning on our Facebook page after we air it today. And so if you missed any of that, go back and re-listen because 100% what? Several minutes of extremely good advice that could definitely be saving your entire financial life.
It's always better the second time.
Oh, yeah.
So weird.
You hear more.
Oh, anyway. Well, I'll probably see you later this afternoon anyway. So,
all right. Awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Life Matters right after this.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Yes, it's Father's Day.
It is.
Happy Father's Day to you, by the way.
Thanks. And all you other fathers out there, which are fathers, not mothers.
I know. I get nervous. I get nervous when you say Happy Mother's Day sometimes to all the mothers. I'm just not sure what's going to come out.
Well, those mothers that know me know it's a joke.
Anyway, so yes, Happy Father's Day. And that doesn't mean just fathers. That means people who have stepped in, uncles, brothers, grandpas, whatever.
Bonus dads, all
bonus
that stuff.
Bonus dads, yep. Yes, all of those things. So definitely celebrate when you have one that is a good influence on you, because sometimes in some families they're hard to find. So be grateful.
That's true. Unfortunately, it's definitely true. But it have a good day. Hopefully you're getting together with your family and enjoying some time.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy your Father's Day with more music coming up right here on Lake 96.1.